Yes.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
I'm here.
We're all here. Sorry, we were a few minutes late trying to do a little quick huddle to put a fire out, and I hope you're doing well. Another nice tie you had on in the video.
This guy's a riot. Thank you.
I think this was a Vineyard Vines tie because it had that wonderful pastel look.
Thank you.
Before we dig down deep, because we've got a number of things that we did following your directions, going to ask a favor of you. Can we cut this off at about 3:30 or 3:35? We've got to huddle before another opportunity later this afternoon and want to make sure we get all of that in. Is that going to be okay?
Roger. I'm with
okay.
you. Perfect.
Bless you, child.
Okay. Fire away.
All right. A couple of reports to make. All right. Let me get my thoughts together about how. All right. We've had a really good success in jettisoning someone, and I've got some, which ended up being some reflections that we wanted to share with you from that process. It was good. It turns out that when I did it, I got her on the phone, you know, because I'm going to have the most of these, and I own that. I got her on the phone, and the first thing she said, she teed it up for me. The first thing she said was, "I haven't heard from you in a long, long time."
Wow.
So, I know. But it was a positive, you know, "I haven't heard from you." I guess it was. I mean, she seemed to be pleasant about not hearing from me. But anyway, the whole idea was great. She liked it. It's a relationship we had with her father, who died and left her this money, and she lives up in Wilmington. And so we've assigned her to Eric, one of our three folks that we're assigning these people to. And she actually knew of Eric's, it was a connection. She knew of Eric's family, which made it even deeper. And then he called her yesterday afternoon and had a real pleasant meeting with her. And so the handoff went real well. The part that the handoff didn't go well is both Yvette and Madeline came in here after I did it. I had my door shut.
After the
2-hour phone call marathon. 2-hour phone call is what they said.
And I'm like, "Jack, how many of these things are you
going to do?" It'll take me 10 years to get rid of these people, Rob. So it wasn't as it was a lot. It was way too folksy, and I know you've gotten to know us all fairly well, and you know that I talk way to hell too much. So here's what I felt about, and I haven't shared this with them. They said, "Wait until you get on the phone." It occurred to me after this that a weakness I have, my greatest strength may be my greatest weakness, and that is that I tend to be folksy. And we tend to be, all three of us tend to be very genuine about who we are and what we do. In other words, we don't walk in and put on the Morgan Stanley financial advisor mask every morning and act this out. We really, truly like our clients. We like to be engaged with them. We like to chat with them, you know, and we feel like that's a strength. That's why they keep sending people to us, and our business has grown so much. But at the same time, boy, you know, getting rid of these people and getting on the phone and talking so much and doing all of that, I'm afraid I the ones that I've got to do, I'm going to have to be a different person. I'm going to have to be a Jekyll and Hyde, whichever the bad one was. And not be the folksy thing. So your impressions, please, about how would you, your reflection on that, please.
Do you really need it?
I don't need it, but I want it.
I don't know that you want it.
No,
I don't think you have to be Jekyll and Hyde. I think you just have to be you shorter.
Okay.
Take a, just take a 5-foot version of yourself, okay?
Okay.
Instead of 6 feet or whatever you are, do a shorter version of you.
Okay, I'm pretty short, so just shorten it even more. Okay,
yeah,
and you know,
I mean,
the other thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, I unfortunately in my job had to help people find new opportunities that had formerly worked for me.
Right.
Meaning I had to fire a lot of people. And in firing people, one of the rules was, you know, some guys would take them to lunch. I was like, what? Why would you take somebody to lunch and ruin 2 good lunches, you know, to fire somebody? So the rule was bring them in, tell them the story, and help them out, and do it in 15 minutes, okay? So that's what you got to do. I mean, you got to do it quick.
I did it longer. It
doesn't get any better after 15 minutes. Did it get a lot better after 15 minutes?
Do what?
Did it get a lot better after 15 minutes?
No.
They must have talked about everybody and their families and everything and everybody that they knew. And
I will admit.
So here's the deal. Let Eric be the folks you want.
Okay.
You're getting no benefit for her or you by going through a whirl. This is exactly what Gerald and those guys did. And they said, oh, my God, this is such hard work. I said, well, how long is it taking you? Oh, an hour for each one. I'm like, are you crazy? They're like, and they laughed and thought, that was, and they got pretty good at it after a while. You know, you just had to get faster. So what you want to do is set a clock for 15 minutes, then for 10 minutes, then for 7 minutes. See how fast you can do it.
Okay. I know this sounds so obvious to everybody, but it just got to be weird yesterday, you know, talking about, because, again, the history of this relationship, and it wasn't a sad thing. It was, she was very happy with this idea. So it was not at the end of the day, it wasn't she was fighting it. It was like I was almost fighting it. And not fighting giving her away, but fighting this
right,
long relationship thing.
So here's the good news, okay? You did won. Congratulations.
All right, following up on that very briefly, because these ladies are so good about indulging me with the part, I guess they're thinking, okay, I'm going to do most of this stuff. So, but, all right, going forward, because we are folksy, I mean, that's been a strength. In fact, I have on the wall this thing that we did with Fortune magazine. They did a piece on us back when Barbie was our assistant before Madeline came on, and the title was a Comprehensive Wealth Management with a Personal Touch. And then in the inside of the narrative, they even talk about us having this folksy approach. So that was looked upon as a strength, but now Supernova allows some of that folksiness when we talk about the, you know, getting the trust points and all those other kind of things. But have we got to get a little bit more business oriented and less folksy?
I think it depends on what you're doing. I mean, do you need to spend a few minutes getting caught up on the family? Of course you do. That you don't need to change. All right. You know, you get to know them. You're on Facebook. You check them out before you get on the call. See that there's been a wedding. See that there's been a baby born. Whatever. You need to find out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the last time you talked. And then you call them, and then you're just caught up in 2 minutes because you know what's going on. Now, if you're going to call them every month, you don't need to do all the Facebook checking up stuff because you're calling them every month. You know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to spend less time on what you call folksy and I call just affiliating, being friends with them, you have to spend, you can spend less time on that and more time on things that are important to them that they need to get done. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're there, you're a personal trainer and it's great to talk, but I don't know if you've had a personal trainer that talks the whole time and never get any training done. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
let's not be that personal trainer. Let's be one that's sort of high, gets caught up in the family and then puts you to work.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So it's not an either or, it's a both. You can do both, but you just don't do as long. Everything can't be 2 hours. You're restricted to 50 minutes on every call, and that your calls like this. I mean, you're the customer. You said I charge you for a half an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
I give you a little more than that, but when you tell me, hey, I got to get off by 3:35, you know, we're off by 3:35. So, okay. Now I can come on here and tell you I got to be off by 3:35, and you'll be like, fine. You know, when we get a chance to chat it up, it's fun chatting it up, but we don't have to spend, you know, we need to get to the work.
Right. Okay, good. Thank you. Because we did have, you gave us a homework assignment and we did it, and I compiled all of the, you said come back to you with what are some complaints that we anticipate or that we have now, how do we respond to those, and how will you suggest responding to those? So I've got them. I'm sorry?
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Good.
So
good.
I'm going to go ahead just for the sake of simplicity, and I'll handle them here. Of course, the ladies can jump in if they want to add a line to it. But this is typically, and I narrowed it down to 5, which either is fooling me that they don't complain a whole lot, or I'm just hiding some of the other ones they have. But this is sort of what we hear. Came from, yes, I didn't hear from you. I'm sorry, I don't hear from you very often. It's been a long time since I've heard from you. That was the one I heard in my call. You're still alive! Exclamation point. Now, the answer to that is this is easy because we're fixing that right now. So if somebody,
I'm glad you hired us. You know, seriously, that's what you're hearing. 1242 is the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah. So if we hear that, and it happens to be one of those people that we know we're going to keep and we just hadn't gotten to them yet, then it's going to be easy to say, we're fixing that right now. We hired, you know, and go through the whole thing. So that's easy. But I did want to, because it was fresh in my mind after this conversation, I wanted to make sure we put that down there. Now we're getting down to more specifics about, here's recent. Yvette and I had this one in a meeting. The market's been up a lot, and my portfolio has been stagnant. I'm not doing as well as the market. Those kind of performance-oriented conversations, which, you know, you always see when the market rallies like crazy. And here are some of the answers we give them, and I'm gonna be brief with it. You know, first of all, you're not in the market, and that's what we would talk to somebody that has a real diversified portfolio, or you're not only in the market, I should say. Another thing is we don't want you to have the risk of just owning the market itself. And then the third thing we've done recently, and we try to do this proactively, Yvette does a great job, discussing the volatility, you know, looking at standard deviation of our proposals and our models and things like that, and helping them wrap their arms around the standard deviation of volatility and how we're trying to avoid volatility so we're not going to be as volatile as the market. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, I guess I'm trying to, and I'm not speaking for anybody else, but I'm trying to find sort of a silver bullet answer. You know, just one shot, rather than go through this hand-wringing discussion about volatility and standard deviation and all of that. So what can you help us with as far as that's concerned?
I mean, it's a legitimate concerned if that's what they're trying to accomplish, right? If their goal is to beat the S&P 500, and that's what their policy statement says that their goal is, then they got a good question, right?
Yep.
So the question I always, this is good for good markets and bad markets. This is often one that you want to take out when they're panicking and want to get out of the market. At the same time, you go back to whatever it was that they did, hopefully it was a financial plan, that told them the rate of return that they needed to get in order to reach the goals that they wanted to accomplish. So my question is, that's a great question. Does that mean we need to revisit your goals? Did you change your goals?
Right.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, you know, we filled out a questionnaire. We did a financial plan. We said that the rate of return that we needed to get in order to have you retire in the lifestyle you wanted was 7%. We're up 12%. So that tells us that the markets have been helpful and we're outperforming our index, which is 7%. Okay.
And that's the index we're focusing on, not the S&P.
That's the one that she needed or he needed to retire on. Or your goal is to take out 4.5% each year. We're achieving a 12% return this year, so we will have more than we need in order to make sure that you maintain your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We can get 15 if you want to change your goals. Do you want to change your goals? No. Okay.
Yep, end of conversation.
You go back to the plan or the policy statement or whatever it is that's guiding you to tell you what rate of return they need to get.
All right, and that's good. And how about this going forward? As Supernova becomes part of our practice and we start getting new clients with that, when Yvette does the retirement income plan, take time to focus on this is the rate of return you need to have. I'm looking at Yvette while I do this.
Maybe making more of a
because she does a great job about, like I said, focusing on the volatility, focusing on what the return, but then saying this is the rate of return we have to have. So if the market's up 18% and we're only up 9, we're still ahead of what of the 7, you know.
Right, but because we're going to be doing it. We're not doing it. We're maintaining a balanced portfolio. We're not comparing ourselves to the S&P 500. So you should have another index that you actually compare it to,
just as
if it was an institutional account, right? So we have a customized index for the endowment for the local, for our island school, right? We were comparing ourselves to the S&P 500 and a bond index, and that isn't even close to what we are. So we're changing our policy statement and developing a customized index so that we have something comparable to the S&P 500, but we also have cash, we have bonds, and we have international stocks, and we have private equity. So that's what you need to do. So, you know, can you develop a policy statement for each client? Yeah, you can, actually. And that should be part of your financial plan. This is the rate of return that we need to get. This is the amount of risk we're going to take in order to do that. And this is the index that we're going to measure ourselves against.
I guess I'm going to ask them a question. Is it a way we can go into the proposal system or the reporting system?
I and there is, and I'm not sure if it'll take the S&P 500 out.
Out, yeah, yeah.
But you can add a custom index.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, and part of, I think, the issue, too, that is an issue with our financial plan, that it does not take the fee out.
Oh,
yeah.
Problem
with that all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
You know? So that's...
Well, yeah. That's great. All right, moving along so we can hit this in time. Leading right up to the, quote, fees are too high. That's the one we struggle with all the time, and we've got all kinds of responses to that. One of the things that we do is we don't let them call it fee. I mean, once they call it a fee, that's fine, but we direct them away from a fee and calling it a cost. And the reason we've done that is the whole idea of fee gives the impression that they're hidden. And so when we talk about cost, you know, we feel like that's disclosed. So we go all into that. But at the end of the day, we still feel like some people just, you know, they get hung up on that. I'm thinking about Hank Haskins. So what are some of the things that you could throw out there for us to grab onto that, in the Supernova umbrella?
Well, for one, when you, up to now, you didn't have Supernova.
Yep.
Okay? So if you are including financial planning in their fee, then you should let them know that. Otherwise, break it out and tell them that's a $5,000 fee that you're going to charge every year, along with the other fees you're charging. So that's one thing. And financial planning isn't a thing. It's a process. It's forever. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing. So you charge them for your planning services, and that's, remember when we said Supernova, what is Supernova? Multi-generational planning and full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments,
right.
Four of those will be reviews, and you can say will be reviews of the plan. Two of them will be in person. Okay?
Okay.
And rapid response to your problems, one hour response, 24-hour resolution. Now, they're going to ask you how much more you're going to charge them for that. Not everybody, but a few people will. What's this going to cost me? And that's where you're actually justifying a fee. Now, when you do an agenda for somebody, that means you're actually being their secretary, kind of. You're being their assistant. You're being their chief financial officer for the CEO. You're following up so they don't have to. So you're fully helping them fully implement it. Now, there's also the idea that there are probably 10, 12, I don't know how many ways that you save the client's money. So instead of being a cost center, you become their advocate for saving money. When you think about it, when you do, let's say you have somebody with $50 million and you do estate planning for them and you save them $20 million in estate costs. I mean, that's unbelievable, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you save them an ATM fee, that's not unbelievable, but it's sure nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're
right.
Constantly finding ways of saving them money. And you don't want to do that anonymously. You want to make a list of those and then use those to remind them that you're saving them money all the time. Just buying municipal bonds, donating stock versus cash. Just think of the advice that you give them that saves them money.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And the only reason I'm rushing is I want to get the last two in here, and we may end up having to take this up again if it's okay with you. But
right.
at least getting some bullet points. Okay, this just came up a couple of weeks ago. Fisher Securities or whatever the heck that thing is, watching too many sports shows. Fisher says no annuities. And then it's kind of like,
I turn the channel when they come on. I hate that.
I just hit myself over the head with a bat. But, okay, that just opens up this whole world of but are there a couple of quick pushbacks that we can give rather than feel that need I have? I can't speak for Yvette, but the need I have of going, you know, God, you know, you're kidding me. You're going to ask me about that? And we start going in. I don't say that, of course, but that's the feeling I have. But there are some. Are there some quick pushbacks?
So I'm assuming you sell annuities.
Yep.
Okay, so annuities are supplemental retirement plans.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So a person works their whole life to get themselves a pension, right?
Right.
They don't question the cost of the pension, and they don't question anything about it. They don't question that it's going to go up or down or anything. They're going to get $35,000 a year from their pension. They're going to get $28,000 or $30,000 from Social Security. And you're going to provide them a supplemental retirement plan of $25,000 from their annuity. Now, you see?
Yep.
And that's what can count on. That's what they can count on for their income.
Right.
That's different from stock market. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is, I want all your money at risk. And what you're saying is, you know what? I don't want all your money at risk. I'd like you to have some security when you retire. Don't you want that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We were saying, as we were looking at each other, as you were saying that, that's exactly how we present the annuity to clients, is a personal pension plan. And so a lot of them embrace it very well. Most all of them embrace that. But the idea about now you've given me some real ammo here, because that's exactly what Fisher's saying. Let's put it all into the market and all would be risk. And we're saying, no, we don't want to risk that.
And you say to them, you really want to put it all on black.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They go, no, I've been there. I've done that. No, that's not what I want. You know, right. I don't think that's not a good thing for them. My financial advisor bought himself $1 million annuity. And I thought, geez, that's kind of, you know the market and everything. Well, he said, you know, I just want to make sure that Nancy Boots, my wife, has some protection in case something happens to me. Well, lo and behold, he gets prostate cancer and he dies. And the market has gone down by 50%. They exercised the annuity option, and she had her $1 million back.
Mm-hmm.
And she got her 5% on that annuity, 50 grand a year for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you something. That gave her a lot of peace of mind versus Merrill Lynch going from $100 to $8.
Oh, God, I know. I had Citigroup.
And that's what she owned. And she owned a lot of it.
Yeah.
He owned lots and lots of it. He got the original shares.
Oh.
Okay? So that's what we call diversification.
Okay, great. Last one. I'm sorry. No. I don't want to cut too short, but this is something that we kind of bump into, but it's not exactly the quote, but we get the feeling from the other person that they want to do it themselves. You know, I want to do it myself now. I can do some research. I don't need you.
I always say that. And then, you know what I say then?
Huh.
I know you can do it, but can Nancy?
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I closed a client that way, and I wasn't even the salesman, right? I had a friend of mine that wanted my advice. So I introduced him to three different teams, and he interviewed them all. And then at the end, I came up and I said, so, you know, he sat me down, wanted to know how things went. And he told me, and he said, you know, I think I can do all this myself. And I said, yeah, but can Nedra? And he looked at me and went, oh, shit, I mean.
Busted.
Busted, right. She didn't have a chance. She's a wonderful lady, right?
Yep.
No clue. None. None. Zero. She's a great golfer, a great socialite. The last thing she would do would be to manage anything, and she needs somebody to go to. And so you build a relationship. You teach her what's going on. She's smart, but she has no interest, like my wife. My wife has zero interest in this.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. Beyond zero. Less than zero.
All right, so what about if I could squeeze out one more quick follow-up question?
Yep.
If we don't have an opportunity to point to the spouse can or can't do it, is there another retort that we could have towards the person who's hell-bent and determined to do it himself?
How have you done so far?
Yeah. Okay. Those are good.
Yeah.
Rob,
you know, how have you done so far? What, you know, well,
Yeah.
I mean, even right. Rob Knapp, even Rob Knapp likes a few other people to bang things off of, right? I mean, I way outperform the markets, okay? And I take a lot more risk. Now, I don't buy options, and I don't go on margin.
Mm-hmm.
But and I hold things. I'm a collector, and I hold things for, you know, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So do I need a financial advisor? Yes. You know why? Because when I close on a condominium or a house, or I lend my children money or any of that, I don't have to do anything, okay? They wire the money. They take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what I want done, and they do it. And my brother, he's an idiot. He pays minimal fees. He doesn't depend on anybody else. And he has to read all the forms and do all this stuff. And I had a great team when I was working, secretary and all that. I don't have a secretary. I've got a very good wife, and I've got a great team that takes care of me, and they act like my own personal team, right? So that's what I pay. I pay them a lot of money every year to take care of me. It's not to do financial planning, and it's not to outperform the market. It's to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And do whatever I need done when I need it done. And they're great at it. And they're fabulous. Got a great assistant. And so, you know, when you're dealing with high net worth and ultra high net worth clients, are very spoiled, and they want you to do everything. So you can't. It's a little different than, you know, is my account up or down? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I'm buying a condominium to support my brother. I'm doing I'm trying to set up a disability trust to take care of him when I'm not here. I don't want to do any of it. You do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, we'll take care of it. You know, that's the stuff I love. That's what I'm after. So everybody's different, but, you know, I don't want to do anything.
Rob, you continue to be a great American. We're going to have to say sayonara.
And you're, good job. You got it done in 35 minutes. So good job.
Hey, thanks a million. We'll be talking to you not next week, but the week after that. My wife is having some surgery, and I'm going to be out, but we'll see you in 2 weeks.
And remind me, too, I've got a good idea for you on I've written it down on your notes, but just remind me, it's on creating a spreadsheet for tracking your acquisition strategies.
Got it.
Okay? Yeah, it's really
thanks, my
really
friend. Good. Take care.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.